Broadcasting to New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Sydney, London, and around the world, this is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday edition of Trumpet Radio Live here on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. Lots to talk about today, including the media scrambling to address the recent terror attacks. Got some information about that. Your favorite fast food restaurant. Do they serve too many antibiotics? We've got a full report. And also, you won't believe what a German soccer goalkeeper did. That and more coming up on this edition of Trumpet Radio Live on 101.3 KPCG.
This is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG online, kpcg.fm. We have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. And don't forget about the TuneIn app. You can use that. Take your smart device with you. Take your new iPhone, your iPhone 7, and put it on there. That's the new one, right? The iPhone 7?
I think so, and it won't explode, probably.
No, it won't explode. But it'll put you back a few bucks. So I saw that Apple is scrambling trying to fill the demand. So those things are flying off the shelves. I'm Dwight Falk, by the way. Grant Turgeon here with me today on Trumpet Radio Live. Neither of us are owners of the newest iPhone. Not yet. But we might start a GoFundMe page for that so people can buy us phones.
Our loyal listeners would gladly pitch in, I'm sure.
I'm sure they would. They have those GoFundMe pages for just about everything. There was a story about this couple that wanted to take an $8,000 vacation. And so they were trying to save for it, and they determined they couldn't do it. So now they're just seeing if people will give them money. So, and then inevitably, there's always a few.
Right.
Even though in a lot of cases they may not get it all, there's always somebody that chips in. And I just think, wow, why?
I saw a similar story for some Oklahoma City Thunder fans who dress up in these crazy outfits and sit really close to the court. And after a while, obviously, they just couldn't afford those seats. So they start a GoFundMe page so people could pay for their really good seats.
Yeah.
And here I am thinking, well, I sit up in the top every time. Why can't you just get normal tickets like everyone else instead of making people pay for you?
Yeah, that's it's interesting. But I guess, hey, you know, if somebody's going to give you money, you might as well. I saw a guy, you know, you see panhandlers on the streets. And there are certain intersections here in the metro area where you see panhandlers fairly often. And there was one guy out there on Sunday, and he was at least trying some tricks to get people to give him money, and he threw his baseball cap like way up in the air and landed on his head. It's pretty good, actually.
That's actually rather impressive.
I'm not going to pay him for it, but I mean, it was pretty neat. I don't know if he just lucked out that one time and I happened to see him, but I was like, wow, he spent some time trying to get that hat trick right. Hey, no pun intended. That's a hockey reference. Maybe that's where it came from. Lots to talk about in today's program, including this headline to start with. Of course, the terror attacks over the weekend, and now they've caught at least one of the guys. There might be some more involved. They're not sure. But it's just interesting to see like the media and the way they're trying to address the situation. Washington Post has a headline, suspect in New York, New Jersey bombings arrested after shootout, FBI says no indication of terror cell. So, of course, a really quick right away to say, lone wolf, not related to anything else, as if we're supposed to feel better about that. First of all, I don't think there is, that I've seen, any indication that he's not part of something. I've seen nothing that says he's not, other than he didn't wear a shirt that says, hey, I'm part of a group. I mean, but even if he wasn't, what difference does it make? It's still terrorism. I don't care if it's 1 or 6 or 12. And again, I don't know what the difference would be in terms of, I mean, he's still going to get arrested. I mean, it makes no difference in terms of what happens to him, I don't think. But like is pointed out on the Trumpet Daily Radio show today, they're trying to shut down Guantanamo Bay. We have known terrorists sitting there, and they're just going to let him go. So kind of what difference does it make in a sense? You know, you arrest the new terrorist and put him in jail for a while just to let him go in a year? I mean, it's just strange. I don't know what the end goal is. But former New York State Homeland Security Advisor Michael Balboni told CNN. He said it appeared that Rahami, this guy they caught, didn't have a plan B or a plan C. He said this has the flavor of someone who was self-radicalized and perhaps who was inspired but not instructed. And again, what difference does it make if he was inspired or instructed? It's still the same result, right?
Yeah, it's still Islam. It's still that radical mindset that it's going to be really hard to crush.
They wrote up a little bit about the guy's life and some of the quotes here from people that knew him. Well, the article says he lived with his family in an apartment above their fried chicken restaurant. They say it seemed like a typical life of an immigrant son and friends and neighbors. He worked at the family business alongside his father and brothers. He played basketball at the court down the street. He tried to hold his own in neighborhood rap battles. So I guess that's a common upbringing. I've never had to hold my own in a neighborhood rap battle. I don't know that I could. But apparently that's normal in some sectors. But anyway, they're trying to say, you know, well, he was just a normal guy. We don't know what happened. Anybody that you can look at that committed a terrorist act, probably most of the time they were pretty normal. They did normal things until the time when they committed a horrible terrorist act. You know, they're acting like they're just surprised. Well, he played basketball down the street. We never expected it. Well, what do they think terrorists do? They don't just sit around being terrorists all the time. They do normal stuff until they commit their acts.
Otherwise, they'd get caught the very second they got here.
Well, here's the thing. They say he changed. He had some changes here. They say a high school classmate said that he had become more religious of late. And this is what I think is really kind of a contradictory sort of narrative they have. It says this: the classmate said that Rahami clashed with his father after the son started dating a Dominican woman. The couple had a daughter who is now about 6 or 7, they think. And this classmate says when he was younger, he had more Western values. After he had his daughter, he became more religious. In the last few years, he was more into the Quran. So the thing they talk about with him is that, well, he became more religious. He started reading the Quran more. But aren't we told that that's a religion of peace and it's a book of peace? Shouldn't that be a good thing? But right. Yet they're saying, what happened just before the terror act? Well, he started being more religious. He started reading the Quran. It kind of butts up against what they're saying on the other side. Maybe not necessarily in this particular write-up, but just the media in general. So, you know, that's what the people that knew him said.
And, well, any really deep Muslim knows what the Quran says and explicitly commands these kinds of attacks. So, I mean, just to try and say that him becoming more religious should make him more peaceful in this case is crazy when you think about what the book actually says.
So that's what they said happened to him before this attack occurred. So they think there might still be a couple of people out there. They're not sure. But again, it's just an ongoing situation. And I saw a story just the other day, even when one of the political speeches, they were bragging about how ISIS was on the run. Now, this guy, I guess, is not related to ISIS, but the guy in Minnesota, they think, was. And they were just bragging about how ISIS is on the run. Well, I mean, it seems like those statements are made right before something happens. And there was a situation in Minnesota. So, anyway, it is interesting how they do scramble, try to figure out what's going on. And in some cases, maybe they do. In some cases, maybe they don't. But there's conflicting narratives here, again, about well, it's a lone wolf. Don't worry about it. There's a whole another write-up today just talking about the recent terror attacks and just saying, oh, they're all pretty much lone wolves. They just kind of did it themselves. The idea being that there's no real big threat here. But there is. Mm-hmm. And these attacks keep happening. They keep happening, and they keep telling you, Ab's a one-off. Don't worry about it. The guy did it by himself. So that's kind of the narrative, it seems like, and it seems like they're trying to do that again.
Yeah, ISIS is on the run. If you think about it, they're leaving their caliphate to go to other nations and commit terrorist attacks. So they're on the run in that way. That's about the only way, though.
Yeah, so pretty interesting times, and I'm sure there'll be more reports about that as time moves forward. Here's an interesting headline as well. I'm always fascinated by time capsules. It's just a neat idea to me. Somebody buries stuff and then somebody else finds it. They found a Nazi era time capsule in Poland. It says a time capsule buried by Nazis has finally revealed its secrets, and the items inside are said to be in great condition.
The copper cylinder was unearthed earlier this month in a town in Poland, which name I shall not pronounce and cannot pronounce, and then later opened at the National Museum there in that area. Inside the tube were newspapers from April of 1934, coins, parchment, photographs of Adolf Hitler, and two copies of Mein Kampf, according to the reports about the discovery. So kind of interesting, just it's always interesting to see time capsules, but then especially something from the darkest period in modern history anyway. And so there's some videos online. You can look at some of those items if you are interested.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that just proves that the Nazis dominated Poland, because a time capsule in Poland is actually filled with Nazi memorabilia instead of anything really Polish. And also, Polish names, I would have to agree with you there. Those are the toughest ones. They put Arabic names to shame. I'd rather try to read a Chinese symbol than a Polish name.
Yeah, it's spelled Z-L-O-C-I-E-N-I-E-C. So I thought, you know what? Just going to let it ride. I'm not even going to try to say it.
It's not worth the embarrassment today.
Just going to admit that I have no idea how to pronounce that that word, that city there in Poland. I don't know if we have any listeners in Poland. If we do, I'm sorry. You can email me at comments@kpcg.fm, and I'll be happy to read the phonetic spelling of that for that town. But kind of interesting history found over there. There's a report out. They did this one a while ago, and now they've done a second report on. This is, does your favorite fast food restaurant serve too many antibiotics? They looked at some of the more popular restaurants, the chain restaurants, to determine if there are too many antibiotics in the meat. And so they have a list here of some of the restaurants. So this might be good news or bad news, depending on what you like to eat.
Please don't be Burger King.
Hold on, let me just peruse the list. I don't know. They don't have everybody listed, so because some people did not even want to be part of the survey. They say a collaborative new report ranks the 25 largest U.S. fast food and fast casual restaurants, they call them, chains on their antibiotics policies and practices. For the second year in a row, Panera Bread and Chipotle Mexican Grill take the top honors, each receiving an A grade. But Chipotle did have some people die, so that's got to be some sort of a downgraded mark.
Well, that probably wasn't because of antibiotics.
No.
That's probably the only reason.
There should have been more antibiotics, but no, that's not. Of course, that's not a funny situation that happened there, but they have been struggling, and it is kind of ironic that they're at the top of this list, even though they had real problems with the other one. They say 16 of the 25 chains received a grade of F.
Oh, no.
That's not good, though that's actually an improvement over last year's findings. Nine companies didn't respond to the survey at all. So they go through a list of a few here and give some of their grades. Chick-fil-A, one of the first companies to announce a good antibiotics use policy in 2014 for its chicken, essentially everything it serves, stays put with a B grade, reporting that it has converted more than 23% of its chicken supply to chicken raised entirely without antibiotics to date. So I don't know if you can request that when you go there. Could I have the non-antibiotic chicken? The 23%. So
isn't one antibiotic too many?
I think so. But they say there's been marginal progress over last year's report, but they're doing okay. McDonald's improved its performance, getting a C+ for completing its transition of its chicken supply, reporting that an impressive 100% of the chicken served at its roughly 14,000 U.S. restaurants is now raised without antibiotics, important in human medicine.
Yes.
That's sort of a interesting statement. Without antibiotics, important in human medicine.
So just all the irrelevant antibiotics are in their chicken.
that leaves some questions. They say the company made no commitments for its beef or pork, so you have no idea what's happening there with those things. Wendy's says that 50% of its chicken is raised without antibiotics, important in human medicine. So again, that's the phrase, right? Antibiotics important in human medicine. I wonder what the other antibiotics are. It sounds even worse.
Yeah, it really does. Hopefully we can find out about that, or maybe we don't want to.
Maybe just, yeah, be on the safe side there. They say its entire chicken supply will comply with its policy by the end of 2017. It earned a grade of C. And that's kind of the thing with these reports. You know, it looks one way on the surface, but you don't even really know what some of the other things that are happening behind the scenes, because they're only looking at that one specific, apparently antibiotics important in human medicine. You don't know what else is going in there. So in April, they say Taco Bell announced that it would source only chicken raised without antibiotics important to human medicine by early 2017, earning
tell us what that means.
A grade of C. Pizza Hut and Papa John's received D grades. Come on, Peyton Manning. He's a Papa John's guy. He's got to get it going over there. Well, now he's got more time. He can go raise chickens. Not playing football anymore. That'd be a great commercial, actually, for making token efforts. setting good antibiotics use policies on chicken, but applying them only to a small fraction of their chicken purchases, according to the report. I would imagine it's more expensive for them. That's probably, you know, at the end of the day, they'll do whatever they can to make the most money. And it's probably cheaper to get the other type of the chicken. Because, mm-hmm. you know, if you go grocery shopping and you buy something that's more organic, they're going to charge you for it.
Probably just for the word organic.
Yeah. Yeah, in a lot of cases. It's interesting if you go to, like, health food stores. Yeah, some stuff might be better, but there's a lot of stuff that's the same as, you know, anywhere. They just mark it up a little bit. You know, oh, it's at a health food store. It's like, yeah, but it's the exact same thing you're buying over at Walmart.
pretty smart Target. Tactic there.
Yeah, I guess so. It is a trend. Antibiotic resistance, they say, is one of the biggest health threats facing us today, according to CNN chief medical correspondent Dr. Sanjay Gupta. We've taken too many drugs, and as a result, they don't work the way they used to. They say a post-antibiotic era in which common infections and minor injuries can kill, far from being an apocalyptic fantasy, is instead a very real possibility for the 21st century. That was according to the World Health Organization, a report they had in 2014. So that's their big concern. There's probably more to be concerned about than just that, but their concern is that the body won't respond to antibiotics anymore because it's been pumped into it so long. And so you get a minor infection or a minor issue, and then you die.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of antibiotics in the first place because those are supposed to kind of basically kill the area that you're trying to treat. So it just doesn't seem like a really good idea. I think people who go on antibiotics at first are in more pain than they even were before they started them. And then eventually maybe it does get better.
Yeah, it's kind of been the catch-all here, you know, in the last how many ever years. And but again, I mean, it's getting to be more and more of a problem, and they're putting it in things. So even if you don't, you're not intentionally going out and getting antibiotics, you're getting it in your meat.
Didn't even know that before.
Yeah, and other things. So
sad.
It is. I don't know if there's any if there'll be any antibiotics in the Cheeto dusting that they put on those new chicken fries at the
Burger
King.
Surely not.
It'll be in the chicken, but not in the Cheeto dusting. Our Cheeto dusting is antibiotic-free and nutrient-free. They all complied with the nutrient-free part of the report.
No nutrients important in human medicine.
Yeah, right.
In that Cheeto dust.
Yeah. Yep, not important in human medicine. Here's an interesting story from the Of Course This Happened segment. If you've ever played soccer or have any idea about soccer, you know that the job of the goalie is to try to keep the ball out of the net as much as possible. And scores in soccer games are usually, you know, 5-3 or
a high one.
Yeah, that's a high one. Yeah. You know, they're not that high. German goalkeeper arrested after conceding 43 goals in one game. So
well deserved, I would say.
Well deserved. In a recent league game, SV Vonderort broke an undesirable record when it lost 43-0 to rival PSV Oberhausen.
Wow.
So they couldn't even score a goal, and they gave up 43. That's an amazing, amazing score.
What were they doing, playing 11 versus 3?
I don't know. You know, even I was just trying to think of if you just gave people free kicks, could they even get 43 in? I mean, if they're good, obviously, I suppose. But, you know, if you just put the ball at midfield and said, you know, we'll give you 50 shots, you know, they probably wouldn't get 43 in.
No.
It says, according to German newspaper Express, SV Vonderort was down 35-0 at halftime. It's actually had a better second half. They improved.
By far, yeah.
That must have been a fun team talk at the interval, they say. What do you say, you know? There's nothing to say. And at one point, it was only able to field 8 players, so they did have a few less. PSV Oberhausen was so embarrassed by its lead that it made the sporting gesture of removing three of its own players to even up the numbers. So they were trying to help. They were embarrassed by it. That's a game you should just call probably at half and say be done with it. Mm-hmm. But it says after conceding a goal nearly every 2 minutes, goalkeeper Marco Kwiatkowski may have wanted to completely forget about the performance. However, 5 days later at a training session, two police cars arrived at Vonderord's training ground and arrested him. The 25-year-old keeper was escorted from the training field by armed officers and brought to the local police station for questioning. They don't know why exactly. They don't know if it's related. That's kind of the mystery, but you know, who knows? Something like this, you could see betting or something happening. I mean, how could that even be possible to give up that many goals?
And to not even score a single one yourself the whole time.
You would, I mean, inadvertently the ball would bounce off of you a time or two, right? You just stand there and you'd
maybe
block.
It did. Maybe they had 100 or 200 shots and he actually stopped most of them.
That could be, yeah. Maybe he played really well, actually, and we don't know it. But so they don't know why he was arrested, if it was related to the game or not. But the club managing director told Express that he hopes the shot stopper will be available for their next game. Why?
The manager says it could have been a lot worse, guys.
Yeah, I don't know that you'd want him. What do you say if you're that goalkeeper? You know, sorry, fellas. I just didn't have it tonight.
Who knows? The defense could be at fault there as well. Sometimes the goalie is just victimized by the guys in front of him. So,
yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, if he just had... They were just, you know, running three or four guys down there and just kicking at him. I suppose, what could he do? A couple of comments here that are funny. Danny posts that the entire team should have been arrested if you could be arrested for foul play. And Yankee7 says, actually, he was led away by two Canadian mounted police to report to the Canucks. So people having a little bit of fun with that one, and I don't totally get what his reference is, but my assumption would be that he feels their goal, their net play isn't good. That would be my guess. I don't know enough about it.
But. Maybe it doesn't seem like they're too terrible, but they at least wouldn't allow 43 goals.
I would think not. So anyway, it was kind of an interesting story. I don't know. They don't know again why exactly he was arrested, but when you give up that many goals. It could be some betting going on. That happens sometimes. Typically, though, when people are betting on games they're playing in, they're a little more savvy about it. You might let one extra goal go as opposed to 43.
Maybe it was like a point spread, and and it had to be over a 40-goal difference, and you'd win like $10 million or something.
1 to 1 billion odds. Like, oh, we'll take that. I just won't stop anything. No one will figure it out. Really interesting story there. The Kia David program's coming up here in a bit on KPCG. Really great programs today. One of them is What is Human Nature? Very good question in this day and age in particular. We see lots of problems in the world, and people always kind of wonder where it comes from. What's the cause of it? What is human nature? It's always interesting when you see situations, whether it's like, say, the terror attack recently or just a terrible crime or something. People always say, well, it seemed like a nice guy, though. You know, they always think, well, no, the person was really nice, even though they've committed some horrible acts. It always seems like people say that.
Yeah, why is that always the justification? You would think that after a huge crime like that, they would say, oh, bad guy, and not try to sympathize with him in any way.
But it gets back to a question of human nature. What is it at the heart and core? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it indifferent? What is it? So really important program here on the Key of David, and it applies to, everything we see going on in the world. So make sure you listen for that. It's coming up here in a bit on KPCG. Also, the Trumpet Daily Radio Show today with your host, Stephen Fleury. From Edstone, England, two main stories today, really important ones. Talks a fair bit in the beginning about Europe rearming. And, you know, reminds us that after World War II, the U.S. worked to make sure Germany could never rearm. That's what they said, never rearm. And they're rearming right now.
Well, there you go. I guess we've reneged on that promise.
He has some good quotes from some articles in there where they're talking about people's attitudes pre-World War II and saying, look, we're too sophisticated. We're not going to go to war. That's crazy. We're too intertwined. Global economies are connected. You know, we're just too, we're beyond that. We're not going to do that. And of course, Churchill said, really? You think so? He said, if you you make that mistake, you can only really make it once.
Yeah, and, exactly.
You know, you better be right on that. And we've heard the same line. I mean, John Kerry not too long ago, you know, came out and said, you know, Russia was acting like last century. That was, he scolded them for their aggression there because that was last century. Well, news for you. It's actually this century. It's actually right now.
It's actually every century ever, and it's continuing today. I guess the idea of having all nations equal and treating each other nicely is good in theory, but some nations are going to say that they could just take total control and have it even better for themselves and less good for others.
Well, right, and people think they're right. They think their way or their thinking is right on things, and so that's why there's conflicts. And again, it doesn't even tie into that Key of David on human nature. That's no matter how much man thinks he's improved and developed and society's better, the facts are that human nature continues to have the same problems it always has had. So those things tie in very much. The second big story talked about in the Trumpet Daily Radio Show is Guantanamo Bay. The Obama administration wants to close it as soon as possible. And there's a story out just showing that they've lied to the American people about the criminals being released. It's proved. And the media just says, okay, don't say anything about it.
These are top-notch terrorists, too. I mean, they're the best of the worst or the worst of the worst, depending on how you look at it. These are generals out on the terrorist battlefield, and we just want to let them go and hope that they don't coordinate some other massive scheme that would kill thousands of people.
Yeah, and that's why it's so strange, because we have this policy of just letting these people walk away, and some of them are known to have been very instrumental in 9/11.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, you go back and watch the video of that day, watch the news reports, remember what happened and how bad that was. And we have some of those people, and we're going to let them go. You should never let them go. I mean, that's crazy. And so the idea is that, well, if they close Guantanamo, then the terrorists won't have a reason to attack us. Come on. That's ridiculous. So even while this happens and while we're trying to get all these known terrorists released, then we have more attacks, and then the media is scrambling to try to figure out what happened. Well, what are you going to do with them? Put them in Guantanamo Bay just to release them in a year? You know, they're probably going to put them in prisons. I get it. They're going to put them somewhere else. But still, it's just we have a very, very loose policy on all of that. And it's just weakness.
Yes, and those who killed thousands, if you compare them to most Americans who commit murder, they either get a death sentence or life in prison. These people are just going to get out free for killing thousands of people. So how do we treat our enemy better than even criminals here in America?
Yeah, and they even admit that, yeah, there's a chance they could go back and commit terrorism again. Well, I think the people that release them, they should be on the line, so to speak, for if they do something again, you're guilty too, because you're the one that let them go. I mean, that would they be as eager to let them go then if they were on the line for their actions? You know, it's very frustrating when you see another attack occur and then it's like, oh yeah, they used to be, and we used to have them, and then we'd let them go. It's already happened. And so it's going to happen again, I'm sure. I mean, why would it not? So a really interesting program today. Lots more detail there in the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Make sure you listen for that. It's coming up here in a bit on KPCG. If you can't catch it live or one of the replays, you can get the archives online at kpcg.fm. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, got a little more info on some terrorists coming through into the U.S. right after this on Trumpet Radio Live.
We'll be right back to Trumpet Radio Live. You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. KPCG is supported by the Philadelphia Church of God. The PCG produces thetrumpet.com, a news website analyzing current events and Bible prophecy. Thetrumpet.com includes daily updates, analysis, and a unique perspective based on the Bible. More information is available online at thetrumpet.com.
Welcome back to Trumpet Radio Live here on 101.3 KPCG. Thanks for joining us online, kpcg.fm. We have a live link, too, at thetrumpet.com and listeners around the world. So we appreciate you tuning in all those various ways. You can follow us on Twitter if you'd like to, at kpcgfm. And if you'd like to send us a comment or a question or anything, you can email us comments at kpcg.fm. I'm Dwight Falk and Grant Turgeon with you here today. I had an email yesterday from a listener who said they learned something yesterday about the Pirate Day. They didn't know it was Pirate Day because you remember if you dressed up like a pirate, you get a free donut. And they said that one of the websites they went to, it had a little pirate on there and they didn't know why. And then they listened and realized it was some sort of a pirate day. So we're educating the masses.
I guess. I don't know why we would ever celebrate pirates when all they ever did was terrorize other people.
Yeah, well, they have eye patches. So that's kind of neat.
It's cool, isn't it? And we named sports teams after them, too.
I remember a cartoon from, that's true, we do. I remember a cartoon from years ago where, I think it was The Far Side, which is pretty funny. And they had, like, the pirate standing there, and one of them had a peg leg, and the other one had a peg neck. Like, there was no head. I don't know, it was so funny. It was clever. Clever stuff. You paid for drawing those pictures. That'd be nice. Right. That'd be nice to sit there. I'm just going to draw a funny picture today. Here's a really interesting write-up. This is, again, sort of on the terrorist theme. Hate to get on it too much, but, you know, it's just happening. It's the times we live in. It's from Breitbart. 10 times in past 2 years, terrorists slipped through immigration process into the U.S.
Yes, and that headline was misread by a lot of the readers because in the comments below they said, there's been way more people in the last 2 years who have snuck in. This is only detailing 10 specific times that terrorists have gotten through into the U.S. and been caught. There obviously have been plenty more than just these 10. But this is an incredibly relevant topic for right now after those terrorist attacks over the weekend in New York and Minnesota. And it just shows how America's enemies are exploiting weaknesses in our immigration system to get into the country to attack us.
Yeah, I mean, it's immigration is a big issue, obviously, in Europe and here in the United States as well. And the idea that you can just let your borders be fairly unprotected and keep the country safe is just not logical. It's not going to work because you don't know who's coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And this report highlights, like you said, 10 times in the past 2 years that they've slipped through that they know of. And just 10 that they're talking about specifically. How many more are just hanging out and playing basketball and having rap battles right now like the other guy? Or, you know, living a normal life until they decide to do something. It happens. It happened to the 9/11 terrorists. They were here living a pretty normal life until they, you know, took down the World Trade Center.
Yeah, apparently some of those were just great tenants at this apartment complex before they went and blew up those buildings. So it just goes to show you they're supposed to blend in until they commit the act. It shouldn't be that surprising to us.
Yeah, I mean, they're not, you know, it's not like in they walk around wearing T-shirts that advertise what they're doing. they're hiding. That's the nature of terror.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this article points out the clear contrast between this current administration and their hopeful successor, Hillary Clinton, promising to increase the amount of people they bring into the U.S. through immigration, through refugee and asylum programs, with Republican nominee Donald Trump promising to put the brakes on allowing potential terrorists into the United States. He said that we can't just allow people from terrorist-sponsoring nations to come here without hardly any screening process. That has been taken as completely anti-Muslim by a lot of critics.
Yeah, and it's just a wild assumption by the other side that he's not that's not been said. As far as I understand, it's just a matter of making sure people come through legally. Why is that a problem? Why are people offended by that? I don't get it.
Yeah, it does make you wonder why these people are so insistent on bringing people in without hardly any screening. The New York City mayor even recently said that they need to bring in more, Muslims, I think it was. Specifically, he said Muslims, which why would you ever say something like that? What is the point to that when even in that region, the people who are in most danger are Christians, yet he's specifically saying that we need to bring in more Muslims?
It's really strange. There was a headline today, even I think it was the Mexican president, somebody down in that area, but they said a couple of things that were strange. I guess one thing they said, you know, a barrier never stops the movement of people. I'm like, yeah, it does all the time. Can you just run through a wall? I mean, of course it does. We're on the second floor of a building. Why aren't we downstairs? Because there's a floor. It stops our movement. That doesn't even make sense. But the other thing was, I thought, well, but you want people to like run illegally out of your country? Like, aren't you against that? Don't you want them to stay?
Yeah.
Why is he so mad? People are illegally fleeing his country. Why does he want that to continue? Yeah. I don't understand that.
Well, he should want to improve the country so that they all want to stay, but obviously he doesn't really want to take on that tall task, probably. So he's pretty much trying to blame someone else, it seems. But yeah, this article goes on and talks about how really we don't have much of a border against these people at all. We don't even try to erect a barrier. It gives the example of that Eritrean in Ohio who plotted a terrorist attack. And in almost every one of these cases, these people came over from their original countries, received naturalization or permanent residency from the U.S. government. Then they try to go back over to someplace like Syria and fight for the Islamic State. And once they receive that training, come back into the U.S. again, which is a bit of a giveaway.
Yeah.
And that's usually what led to their capture.
Yeah, that's just really, it's kind of the same thing that happened with this guy up in New York. You know, he was, I guess, born in Afghanistan, came here when he was younger, but he's been going back and forth. And, you know, so they're trying to determine right now what he was doing when he was going back and forth there. You know, I don't know what he was doing, but the evidence from what he has done anyway would suggest that he wasn't doing good things back in Afghanistan.
No, not at all. Thankfully for us, these people tried to go to Syria and then come back here, which led to their arrest. But now the Islamic State is encouraging people who are already here, who sympathize with their cause, to just commit the terrorist actions here without going over there for training anymore.
Right.
And that's going to make them a whole lot harder to catch because they're already here.
Yeah. Well, does it say what they do with the people when they arrest them? Are they still behind bars or they let them go again?
It doesn't say. It seems like it's a pretty clouded issue where you can't tell much of what they do with these people. There's another example here, and they title it Virginia Man. Not quite. So there was supposedly a Virginia man who tried to plot a terrorist attack in that state. However, the article avoids mentioning until 16 paragraphs in that this person is actually from Sierra Leone and not originally the United States. So the Washington Post is trying to bury the fact that he came here just to commit a terrorist attack.
It's the same with the guy from over the weekend. They said, well, this is a U.S. citizen. Well, yeah, he got his citizenship, but he wasn't originally from the U.S. He's from Afghanistan. And so, but they just said, well, no, he's a citizen. Well, yes, but why don't you give us a full story there?
16 paragraphs in. That is just shameful whenever those writers know what they're doing. They know that they're not including that crucial detail until far down in the piece, so people hopefully have stopped reading by that point. And they were probably forced to put that detail in the first place when they didn't want to.
That doesn't speak highly of the writer's opinion of himself. Oh, clearly no one would read 16 paragraphs of this.
Yeah.
I'll put it down here. No one reads this far.
16 paragraphs. That's a lot for people today when the attention spans wrapped up in 6-second videos now.
Yeah.
There's another example here of a Kenyan Somali refugee. Or a Minnesota man convicted on terrorism charges. So once again, articles just describe him as just a regular Minnesota man.
Sure.
Kind of ignoring the fact that Somali refugees are everywhere up there in Minnesota.
Right.
And they are a clear and present danger because that they are largely almost all Muslims as well.
Well, there's a story about one of the restaurants up there put up on their marquee, Muslims get out, which, you know, obviously people are going to be upset about, and there's going to be a lot of, blowback against that. And I don't know that that's the best thing to put up there by any means, but it just shows that there's going to be anger you know, you can't keep telling people that there's no problem and they're getting stabbed in their own mall. I mean, at some point people are like, that's enough. I can't listen to this anymore. It's not true.
Mm-hmm. And the politicians who are saying there are no problems are not the ones being attacked. If it was their families being attacked in these different incidences, can you imagine them still being fine with those same policies?
Well, absolutely. You know, the thing, too, is, you know, we discuss this and a lot of people discuss these topics without being really personally affected other than just watching it happen. But what if you were one of the ones that got stabbed or your kid? You know, how would you feel listening to the media talk about it all nonchalant, like, oh, you know, yeah, nothing big, nothing to see here. And you're the one, or your family member is the one that's either dead or maimed in the hospital. Can you imagine how mad you'd be about that?
Pretty mad. And there are some stories of even with terrorism, but also with illegal immigrants coming in and committing crimes, where the victims were on the side of the mainstream media until they experienced firsthand the damaging effects of just letting people come in when you don't know who they are. So it just goes to show you the people on the ground every time are contradicting the mainstream media's message.
Yeah, because they're dealing with it. It's just like we talked about earlier this week, the Black Lives Matter guy that was a big proponent of that until the police weren't there and he got robbed and mugged. And they said, well, where are the police? Well, you've been telling them to get out. So that's where they are.
That should even change his stance on being in Black Lives Matter, which it probably didn't. But even he could see the need for police after he got mugged there. This article, it's talking about that second Minnesota incident. And it goes, this article in one of the Minnesota papers actually sympathizes with the mother of the terrorist. It says, you know, these SWAT team members rousted her from sleep, and they were chasing down her son, who has two jobs and is a hard worker.
And a terrorist. Yeah.
And they leave out until near the end the fact that the terrorist's older brother was also a terrorist. And so there's a clear link to radical Islam in this family, but all they do is write this sob story about the mother, who clearly knows what her sons are up to.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, even if she doesn't, it's kind of too bad. I mean, what are they supposed to do?
Not roust her from sleep, apparently.
Don't wake me. Don't wake me up. There's terror going on over here.
Yeah, there's so many. Here's another example of a Somalian in Minnesota. They're getting caught left and right, but we just keep letting the Somalians move up to that same area. It's a hotbed there. There is a Sudanese man who was caught in Virginia conspiring to join the Islamic State. What else here? So many examples.
You know what I was thinking of? Because I was thinking about some of this stuff before we came on the air, and I was thinking about, you know, when you're in grade school and you take an IQ test, and they say, okay, here's four items. Tell us which ones are similar, which ones are different. You know, they have three cups and one fork, and you have to circle the one that's different, so the fork's different. Well, when you're looking at these terrorist attacks, is there anything similar? Anybody notice a pattern, a similar pattern? I don't care if it's a lone wolf, terrorist, I don't care. Isn't there a pattern? You know, if you were to look at that IQ test and be like, I can't tell. I can't see a pattern here. They'd put you in the, I don't know where they'd put you, but you wouldn't be allowed to proceed in school, I guess, at the same rate. There is a pattern. It's a clear pattern here, and you have to acknowledge it. Mm. And they just don't want to. It's clear who's committing terrorism.
Yeah.
Absolutely clear.
It's young Muslim men from the Middle East. It's just every time, overwhelmingly, we just keep on reading about how these are all Muslims who come here from the Middle East. How can we not realize that this is the main threat after a certain amount of time?
And then just keep opening the door over and over. You know, there was a tweet, I think, it was by somebody in the Trump campaign. I think it was one of his family members. It's getting a lot of flack today because he made an analogy about Skittles and people coming in, immigrants coming in, and he said, you know, if you knew that two of these would kill you, would you take a handful? And, you know, people are, you know, are all upset about it and everything. And, you know, maybe that's not the best way to phrase it, but there's some wisdom to that. Here's 100 people. One of them may kill you. Do you want to let all 100 come in? I wouldn't. Just personally, just for the sake of safety. So again, people are going to have some arguments probably, but I don't. That logic seems to make sense.
Yeah, if you're pragmatic and logical and you're thinking this situation through, that shouldn't even be offensive at all, because that's a spot-on analogy. If you know that a couple of those Skittles might be laced with some poison, you're not going to eat any of them at all, because you don't know which ones in the bag are poisoned.
Yeah,
that's kind of what's going on. And even the mainstream liberal media is saying that, well, the vast majority aren't terrorists. Okay, we are conceding that, but we don't know which ones are and which ones aren't. So how can we just keep on bringing everyone in?
Well, and that's just the crazy hypocrisy of the argument there. On one hand, they'll say, well, not everyone's a terrorist, which is true. But then if they're going after the other side, anybody that's conservative or they consider to be conservative, they're all right-wing crazies. All of them? Everybody? Automatically? Yeah, you know, that. What does that even mean? That's just a term they made up. But again, on one hand, oh, you can't brand everybody, and then the other hand, they're gonna brand everybody. It's they're doing the exact same thing that they're accusing other people of doing.
Yeah, imagine the outcry if someone said that all Muslims are terrorists. Just would be just so offensive to those people, and yet they're saying the same thing basically about Christians.
Yeah,
and they're even trying to say that Christians are just as dangerous when it comes to murdering innocent civilians as Muslims are. That's clearly not true.
Yeah, not in this country anyway. It's pretty interesting. Of course, if you look back at the history of some of the religions in general, you do see obviously a lot of battles and wars and so forth. So those battles continue to rage. We see it in Europe escalating. In the United States, not so much, because we're pretty religious-less in this country, but you can see a lot of divisions and a lot of violence going on. So it's a really interesting write-up there from Breitbart. That's just 10 examples.
Mm-hmm. We only covered half of them.
How many do we not know about?
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. I mean, every time there's a terror attack, in most cases they say, oh, you know, we didn't see it coming. Well, okay. But, you know, the thing, too, and it's talked about on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show with Stephen Fleury today, is that they have a lot of intelligence that comes in to the White House, especially in relation to Guantanamo Bay and some of the people in there. And, we'll ignore it. We don't care. We're going to do what we want anyway. Why do you have intelligence if you're going to ignore it? That doesn't make any sense. They went after the Bush administration like crazy for having bad intelligence, which I don't know how bad it really was. But now they just ignore it and do whatever they want. But the media is silent. They won't say a thing about it.
Right, and apparently we are supposedly fighting a war on terror abroad, but now domestically as well, because if we're just going to let everyone in, we can't see who is who. So the war on terror has to come to American soil as well.
Well, it's you look at the storm that's building. You just let everybody come in. You don't secure your border. You demonize the police force. What's left? Anarchy? Violence? It's a bad mix.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, pretty interesting write up there at Breitbart. We have one more story today. That's a positive one. After all that, what would you call it?
Doom and gloom.
Doom and gloom. But it's what's going on. This is pretty cool though. This is a 14-year-old young person. They're a painting prodigy, and they're worth about $3 million.
Ooh.
You know, kids like to draw and paint, and so you should keep doing it and get good at it. This guy's name is Kieran Williamson. They say he's just like any other 14-year-old with a passion. He has a hobby that he spends most of his free time pursuing, in this case is painting, and he works hard to earn money for himself. And they say it just happens to be valued at around £2 million or over $3 million. He's nicknamed Mini Monet. It's a pretty cool name. Williamson began painting at age 6 with his first exhibition taking place when he was 7 years old. His biggest support system has been his parents, who have helped connect Kieran to established artists in their community, in addition to signing him up for different painting courses and classes. What do you know? Supportive parents. That helps a kid, apparently. Kieran takes his work as seriously as any established artist and seems to have already adapted the mindset of all artistic masters. He told The Telegraph, "Sometimes I can spend all day trying to make a picture work, and it never does. If that happens, I'll throw it away. I go for a walk to clear my mind and return, hoping something great will appear on the canvas." The teen's intentions were never to turn his passion into a profit. He just liked doing it. And it turned out he could, and he could do it very, very well. And so now he's making some money.
He sounds like a grown man who is just so focused on his craft that he's going to actually go on a walk to clear his head. I mean, that's very mature thinking there to really just keep at it and persist even whenever it seems really difficult. It's so easy to give up on a talent before you really start taking off.
It says he finds music as his main source of inspiration. Hey, think about that. Think about this young fella. He's got two parents that are really helping him out, getting him going. He's got a talent. He's working at it. And like you say, you know, he's painting, and then if it doesn't work, he takes a walk. He's not engaging in terrorist activities. He's not thinking about that. Why? Because his mind is on quality things, on cultural things. It's just a completely different mindset. And it's just great to see that in somebody. It says, especially a young person, it says, as for his finances and what's to be done about his massive net worth, Keith and Michelle Williamson admit that though it's a big legal and ethical nightmare, they're doing the best they can with handling and humbling Kieran appropriately. We have to ensure Kieran is protected from exploitation, and the legal system has to ensure we as parents are doing the right thing for him. So they're really looking out for him, and this guy has got a bright future.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know a lot of young people who have some great talents, and it seems like if you can just keep developing it, it does become something really special. We have an artist here who works here, and now she's going to be painting a piece of art during every one of our concerts during the concert series, and right. Then whoever is the winning bidder or whoever wins the prize gets to take the painting home at the end of the season.
Hang on to it. Might be worth $2 million someday.
Look at that. See what happens whenever you just spend a lot of time on it. She's been doing that since she was really young, too.
Yeah, and it benefits people, which is nice. It says if Kieran Williamson's success thus far is any indication of where he'll go in the future, we have no doubt. They say that the $2 million pound or $3 million net worth he's amassed will only continue to grow about as massively as his talent. Really great story, and like his parents said, I think it was really great. They're trying to keep him humble. Because, well, you're 14. You're very talented, and you're worth $3 million. Boy, you know, strut around a little bit. I'm not mowing the lawn.
I'm paying the bills around here.
Yeah.
I'm not mowing the lawn.
Who's the millionaire in this house? but they're working to do the best for him, and that's awesome to see. And, you know, just the realization that, yeah, you got to keep him a little bit humble. That's a good thing for people.
Seriously, he could be so arrogant if his parents were not involved in that way. It's already hard when you're really young to avoid arrogance, but especially when you're worth a few million dollars, you could just be the most insufferable person that who's ever lived.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, at 14, it's easy to think you're good at a lot of things, and this guy legitimately is good at some things and getting paid for it. So pretty neat story there. It's always good to highlight good ones, and of course, we try to find some, and sometimes you get some real good ones like this, but... Boy, there's just a lot of bad out there, too. So it's good to show the bright side of things, too.
Mm-hmm. Show that there are some things that do indicate success in people's lives, too. The two parents being involved and having a worthwhile pursuit. I think there's that saying, nature abhors a vacuum, but so does the mind. If the mind is empty, naturally bad things will fill it up. But he's got his mind filled with something extremely beneficial.
Absolutely. I mean, it's two different mindsets. This guy is going in the direction of building something up, making something. I don't think he's mad at everybody for everything, because he's working on something and he's developing it, and he's a rare talent, of course. But you look at some of the people in the political cycle. You look at the terrorists and terrorism. It's all negative. It's all destroying. They want to destroy something all the time. And this is the opposite. This is wanting to build something up. It's two different mindsets.
Yeah, that first mindset is all about being a victim and blaming everyone else for certain struggles. And this guy is just putting his head down and getting to work and not having a sour attitude or blaming anyone else for anything in his life. And look how blessed he's been from that.
Yeah, a lot of it has to do with probably his mindset and obviously his parents as mm-hmm. well. Because even if he wasn't making a lot of money painting, he'd probably be just doing great mm-hmm. with normal 14-year-old things. But it's pretty neat that he can do something exceptional. So that's a good story to close on today. Make sure you listen for the Key of David program and the Trumpet Daily Radio Show coming up here in a little bit on KPCG. Thanks for joining us today on Trumpet Radio Live. For myself, Dwight Falk, and Grant Turgeon, have a great rest of your Tuesday. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. You can download Trumpet Radio live segments from kpcg.fm.